Put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, cozy, get comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we tear it down and begin again, yeah. Tune in, sit down, crack it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Yeah, Blanket Ninja.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bring Your Own Blanket, a podcast where we talk about anything and everything inside of a blanket fort. I am Janon.
And I am Maria.
We are wives that are married to each other, not wives married to other people, and we just, like, hang out. That would be kind of weird.
But I mean, I guess people do that.
It'd be fine. And, yeah, this is our podcast, Bring Your Own Blanket. Real quick, while I have your attention, please go follow us on Facebook. It's BYO Blanket Podcast on Facebook. Someone already took BYO Blanket on Facebook. Who would have done that? Whatever. It's BYO Blanket on Instagram. And on Patreon, it's patreon.com/BYOblanket. Right now, let us introduce our second guest of the podcast on this episode about happiness. Maria, you want to give me the lowdown on this gal sitting right next to me?
Oh my God, I am so excited to have Caitlin here. I met Caitlin at the studio, and we're both doing our 300-hour training. For those of you who don't know what that is, we're basically getting our master's in yoga. I think that's a good way of putting it. And when we asked Caitlin what she wanted to talk about, she said happiness as her legacy. And she's, you know, successful. She's all, you know, businesswoman-y, and and she works for one of the big four accounting firms as a corporate trainer. And, you know, works really, really hard, is really, really successful, travels, does the whole thing that most people would want to do when they're in their late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, just trying to figure out what does happiness mean? What does that journey look for you in your personal life, your career, love life, health, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you for being here.
Thank you guys for having me. I am so excited.
So first of all, how was your experience of building a blanket fort? I don't know when the last time you built a blanket fort was.
I honestly can't remember the last time I built a blanket fort. And so that's what I told you guys earlier, is I feel like a little kid in here. Like, it's so much fun. And yeah, we have wine. Cheers.
So they are not little kids.
Here's the proof. We are over 21. Yes.
Yeah. Cheers. Cheers.
So we have wine.
Mm-hmm. Pajamas. Mm-hmm. Caitlin's straight up wearing a onesie.
I love it.
Wearing a onesie, and it's kind of toasty under here, so I have the onesie unzipped.
You know, part of our listeners supporting this podcast, we could get a tiny little AC for the blanket force.
Sort of fan. That'd be nice. Of sorts.
Yeah. Fans for fan. For a fan.
Oh, I love
fans
that.
For a fan.
Fan from a fan.
Yes.
Fan from a fan.
Yes.
Okay. So I have the legs rolled up. I have the top unzipped. With a shirt on, yes. And I'm still in a onesie.
I love it. The commitment is just superb.
And then the blanket that I brought is a blanket from college. So it has Texas State on there. It's a little heavy for a blanket fort, and it works.
So yeah, blanket fort is a success. It's,
totally.
The colors all match, too.
Y'all, and we have, like, there's a hipster lamp.
It's a hipster lamp.
There's a tripod.
Yes.
A Swiffer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
A bottle of wine.
Yes.
I mean, this could be my every Friday night.
Right?
I know.
Yeah, just get that AC.
Yeah.
Or let it be winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is summer in Texas, y'all. So,
well, technically spring, but it's still
in
really hot.
South Texas.
In Houston.
Yeah. So, the topic today is happiness.
Aww.
Cue the daisies.
Daisies and rainbows and sunshine. And also, you know, happiness is a lot more varied than most people believe it is or think it is, you know? So why did you want to talk about happiness, Caitlin?
Yeah, so when you asked me what topic I would like to talk about, we talked about it at the studio, and I wasn't too sure. I was like, well, what my life experience is right now is health, taking care of myself, dating, all of those things. And then I was actually in a yoga class, and I thought about it while I was practicing. Mm-hmm. And the overarching theme of happiness came up for me, and it was really like being able to focus and choose happiness, which has allowed me to have success in a lot of those different areas of my life. And so that's why I wanted to talk about happiness.
Cool. Yeah, no, that sounds great.
I think we all can relate to that, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a human... Well, I don't want to make general blanket statements. Oh. We almost called the podcast blanket statements, but that was so taken.
Oh, yeah.
It was sure. Completely covered.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Yeah. There's folks who might not be worrying about right now, because they could be worrying about where their next meal is coming from. Right. And, I mean, I guess you could... reason that that's like a form of finding happiness, and it's really not what we're talking about today.
Right. What does happiness mean to you?
You want me to go first? Okay, I'll go
sure.
First. Okay. Happiness to me, I used to think that happiness was like literally joy. Like mm-hmm. It was literally like I'm always positive, nothing ever gets me down, haters just bounce off of me, that kind of stuff. And, you know, with maturity and practicing yoga, through all that work, I've realized, like, happiness is very holistic in my experience. And it's akin to the yogic term santosha, mm-hmm. which is a niyama, which is one of the limbs of yoga. Our non-yogi friends out there, FYI, there are 8 limbs of yoga. It's not just the physical stuff. There's also other stuff you do to feel good about life and all that, and live a meaningful life. And one of them is niyama, which means, how do you guys translate niyama?
It's like an inward discipline.
Mm-hmm. Inward discipline. I mean, discipline sounds okay. Mm-hmm. This word's okay for me. It's more like...
What about inward practice?
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. the practices. There's 5 of niyamas, and they're practices that you perform within yourself, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In order to achieve a sense of well-being and happiness. And one of them is santosha. It means contentedness. For me, that's really what happiness is. It's the ability to accept what is as it is and like roll with it in a way that empowers me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Santosha.
Santosha.
I love it.
I love that word.
Yeah.
That is a good word.
Yeah. I can get that tattooed on me. Probably.
You probably could.
I mean, I can.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna.
And the likelihood of that happening.
Oh my God, after
so
this episode,
slim.
You guys want to go get Santosha tats?
I'm down.
Yes.
What? Oh my God. I did not think y'all would actually go for that.
You know me.
Are you serious?
I mean, I'm down.
Oh my God. All right, listeners.
It will be tiny, and I'll do it.
Stay tuned after this episode is edited, because you could see pictures of a tattoo produced from a freaking podcast. All right. Anyway, Caitlin, what's your answer to that? What does happiness mean to you?
Yes. Okay, I'm going to do something really quick. And I had, prior to this, had feelings of like doubt on being on this podcast with you guys. Mm-hmm. So first of all, appreciate you guys having me. And it is like a little happiness ritual as well. Happiness ritual. Because what I was thinking is I'm not interesting enough. I don't have a story to tell. I don't have enough knowledge or experience in whatever it is that we'll end up talking about.
That's what you used to think?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was thinking prior to.
Yeah. Got
like,
it. Oh, okay.
This moment, really, oh, okay. Right? Mm. So I think, and... You can edit this out if you want to, but what I want to say is that I am interesting, I am funny, and I have experience that people want to hear about
yes.
and listen to.
Oh my God, I'm not going to edit that out.
Yeah, no, this is gold.
And
gold.
I think,
thank you.
Yes. And it's not necessarily to get acknowledgement, but just to like say that out loud is a way that I incorporate just feelings of... like joy and contentness and happiness for myself is letting go of those doubts that I have mm-hmm. sometimes, you know?
Yeah, and you create your world with your words.
For sure.
So world created.
World created right now. Caitlin. I'm interesting, funny, and people want to hear what I have to say.
Hell yeah, I do.
So happiness for me, I think, you know, to go along the lines of what you were saying, Janan, happiness for me used to, and sometimes still does, depend on external circumstances and depend on other people. And when I say that, I mean like what other people think about me, what they say about me, and what they do around me or whatever that might be. And then external circumstances, meaning like success when it comes to the amount of money I have in my bank account or the things that I have or the things that I get to do. And that is the definition of happiness, right? And so for me, it's like the shift of being independent in my happiness and that I truly create it for myself in whatever way that that looks, right? And that it's not dependent on anyone or anything.
Love it.
Yeah. That's my definition. I create it for myself.
Cool.
I love it.
Maria, chime in on this. What's happiness mean to you?
Happiness. Throughout my life, that word has meant so many different things. When you're a kid, it's just such a basic, like, emotion or thing that you're feeling in the moment, or sort of acceptance you get, whether it is from school or parents or candy, I don't know. You know, just, like, really...
Reese's Pieces.
Yes.
Almond Joy.
Almond Joy. And as you start growing up, or as I started growing up, it sort of became more about me and my identity. And I got to the point, you know, being gay and having to come to accept that about myself is, you know, the journey became of how do I get happy and be happy with who I am when I have everything, or what it seemed like everything against me or telling me that I should not, right? And it became, you know, this path of like, okay, how do I define it? What does happiness really mean? What is it? And where I am in life now, I believe that happiness, it's more of an attitude. It's more of a state of mind rather than, oh my God, I feel great.
It's not a mood.
Yes, it's not a mood, it's not necessarily an emotion, and though it encompasses all of that.
Yeah.
In order to learn how to be happy or really be happy, we as humans need a better understanding and a better definition in ourselves of what happiness looks like, and identifying what happiness looks like for me, and like you said, Caitlin, right, in all different aspects of your life and my life, and because it's going to be different. And it's going to be different. And a better understanding of what that looks like will yield more specific results as far as happiness goes.
I love that. Well, prior to this episode, I brushed up on my high school and college day philosophy classes. Did you guys ever take ethics in school or philosophy?
Yeah. I took philosophy, not ethics.
Do you guys remember talking about happiness?
I personally do not.
I don't. Not specifically. I did take a class in, what's it called? Business ethics, and happiness was definitely not a topic. No. Yeah.
So anyway, in ancient Greece, you guys know those bros, like Plato.
Yeah.
Plato's a
the
cool
bro.
Dude.
Yeah. He's a bro.
And his bro, his fictional, shirt. Probably fictional bro, Socrates, that he quite often wrote about. And then, you know, Aristotle, who lived after Yeah, he came after Plato. But anyway, Plato, in the Republic, he says that those who are moral are the only ones who may be truly happy. And then I was like, moral? Like, that sounds so, like, oh, ew. Like, don't moralize me. Yeah. Come on. Then I looked it up, and the morals we're referring to are called cardinal values, and that there are four cardinal values. And then as I was reading them, I was like, dang, this sounds like a lot like yoga. So one of the cardinal values is prudence, and it is the ability to, like, know and judge your actions regarding, like, to make sure they're appropriate at the time, right? So it's, I think we call it discernment in yoga. Yes. Mm-hmm. Instead of judging, it's discerning. Mm-hmm. And then courage is another cardinal virtue. And that's pretty easy. It's just to, you know, step out of your comfort zone, as we say. Other things that we say.
You are ready now.
Yeah, you are ready now. There you go. I was looking for that one. Next one is temperance or restraint. So like self-control. Mm-hmm. That one we call brahmacharya in yoga, mm-hmm. Which literally also just means like self-restraint, self-control. Mm-hmm. Like don't overdo your shit. Mm-hmm. Keep it together, man. And then the last one is justice, which they really more mean fairness, like being fair, mm-hmm. right? And personally, I view that as being able to, like, forgive and move on, mm-hmm. but and still, like, hold the boundaries around whatever occurred, mm-hmm. right? So that's his cardinal values, that which Plato says, you practice that, and that's what happiness is about, which I think is pretty cool, because then it's not really dependent on, like, wealth or riches or even, like, being in a good mood. It's, like, living a fulfilling life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Aristotle, okay, I'm going to try to pronounce this. Eudaimonia. Eudaimonia? Sounds right.
Sounds right to me.
Listeners, if I am super wrong, please comment and correct me so I can learn. That is the Greek word that basically means happiness, but is also translated as human flourishing. Isn't that cool? Ooh. Yeah, I really like that. And it's also about living in accordance to virtue. Mm-hmm. So he does this really cool thing, Aristotle, where he talks about how there are a lot of aims in life, like wealth, courage, intelligence, like having virtues, that which are valuable, but only in relation to other things. Only in relation to other things. Hmm. They can't stand alone by themselves. But eudaimonia, aka happiness, is the only thing that's valuable in isolation. Which just like gave me goosebumps when I learned back in philosophy.
Interesting.
And I thought that was so cool. And so, yeah, the fact that like happiness is a part of ancient Greek philosophy and a whole bunch of other philosophies, not mm-hmm. just ancient Greek, signifies to me that we talked last episode about, what is his name, Maslow's pyramid? Is that mm-hmm. the guy?
Yeah. Maslow's hierarchy.
Again, I get mixed up between him and Pavlov.
No.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Maslow's pyramid of needs, the hierarchy of needs, yeah. Happiness isn't, like, inserted in one of them, because mm-hmm. self-actualization is different than happiness, mm-hmm. and that's the one that sits at the top. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, happiness is, the way that we're talking about it, human flourishing, mm-hmm. is it's why we even have a pyramid. It's why a dude even thought of that.
Yeah.
Because, like, humans are like animals in the way we want to survive, and yet completely unlike animals, if we're unhappy, like, we'll kill ourselves sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like, the human doesn't even want to survive without that pursuit of happiness, mm-hmm. which I think is so interesting. And to me, points out that, like, I'm more than an animal. Like, yeah, I'm totally of, like, flesh and bone, like animals. I do want to survive. I don't want to die. And though if I don't have, if I'm only in survival mode, that's only going to last so long.
Right.
You know, that's only going to last so long. So that's my little little lecture.
I love it.
A little philosophy lecture on happiness.
And I don't know about Plato or Aristotle, but they also lived in a time where, like, survival was a huge part of their life, right? Mm-hmm. Where food and war.
More so
and,
than us today, for sure.
Correct.
Because they lived pretty cool.
Right.
Like, better than, like, I don't know, barbarians?
Yeah.
I don't know. You can say what's better or worse.
Right.
Yeah,
definitely lifespan was shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Disease and, mm-hmm. access to food and water.
Technology was really not where it is today.
Right. All of those things, and the fact that they put so much time and effort into studying all of these things means
so cool.
how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So cool.
And mm-hmm. it's a part, it really is a part of every philosophy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, samadhi, the pinnacle of yoga, mm-hmm. samadhi means bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, deep like, bliss mind. Is a synonym for
happiness.
Boom.
Yeah.
Well, okay, cool. Thanks for listening to that.
I love that. Thank
yeah.
you.
Maria had a little, not little. Maria has
feelings about this.
has feelings.
Well, okay.
You got cool things to say also about like the philosophy of happiness, I think. Or
it's really cool because you know it's Mother's Day yesterday, and I went to see my mom. That's perfect. The wine sounds.
Yeah, if you guys perfect. Hear the little the cool little sound effects, it's wine being poured. We are like ancient Greeks right
we
now.
Are. Drink the wine.
This is our parliament.
Yes.
I'm gonna scream. Rome has fallen when we take this down.
Oh God, that's gonna be so great.
And by the way, listeners, I know Rome was not in Greece. Okay.
No. And it's still cool.
Yeah.
And
relevant. Okay, Maria. Anyways. Sorry, you were saying Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, and I went to see my mom yesterday, and we started talking because she was listening to our first episode.
Shout out Maria's mom.
Yay!
Hola.
Hola.
Hola, mommy. Yeah, she was listening to it, and we started talking about. Well, we started talking about life. We started talking about religion. My mom is heavily involved with her church, and she sings in the Latin ministry, and you know has been really involved with the church for a while. Studies it, leads small groups, and all that kind of good stuff. And it was also my dad's wedding. They're divorced, if that wasn't obvious. And she was asking me about the actual ceremony and what the
pastor,
thank you, what the pastor, you know, what the ceremony was about, what he had said.
Reverend.
No, pastors.
Preacher.
I don't pastor. Know the difference.
Minister.
I don't really
I think
know
it's
the
minister.
I don't know the difference either.
I don't
know. But I think because you administer the wedding. Sermon.
You officiate the wedding.
Officiant. Yeah. The officiant.
Sure. Okay.
What Omar. He was saying.
His name is Omar. We'll just call him Omar.
Okay.
What he had actually said, and she was asking me what I thought of it. What did he say? And we talked about it. And one of the things that came up was, because he mentioned this during the wedding, was that the point of marriage is not to be happy. The one does not get married to be happy. So we started talking about happiness in regards and specifically related with religion.
And like institutions.
Yes. Mm. And she said, you know, a lot of people, she meets the church, and even herself before in the past, is you go to God to seek this happiness, especially if there's something, you know, going on, something not necessarily wrong, you're not happy, you know, shit's happening, and people go there to find happiness. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily, and sure, you can maybe get it from that, and though that's not the point of it. I don't know. I mean,
I didn't. Yet.
And then
or
that's the thing.
Will
and,
I ever? I'm...
And that's the thing. And that's the thing that we talked about, right? If something didn't work for you, then maybe there's something else outside of your spiritual life that needs help, that needs improvement, in order for you to be this well-rounded human and get this feeling or sort of attain happiness. So I thought it was really interesting in talking to her.
So is it like, is it like what? Because in like a yoga class, I will happily and loudly say to my students, you must bring joy to the pose. The pose is not going to give you joy. Mm-hmm. In fact, another shout out to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. We gave you a shout out last episode.
Hi.
The first class of Nancy's I ever took, that was the intention of her class, is you bring joy to the pose. Mm-hmm. The pose is not going to bring you joy.
Yeah.
And is that really kind of, is that what you're saying? Like,
yes.
You bring happiness to religion, you bring happiness to marriage, it's not going to give it to you?
Exactly, because it's not like you pray, I don't know, you read the Bible, you pray, you do whatever other religions do, and boom, you're happy. It's not a checklist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to donate money. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to read. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to join a Bible group. And boom, you're happy.
I know plenty of people who are involved heavily in the religion and are not happy people.
Right. Exactly.
Well, and I think that's kind of going back to what I was saying about my definition of happiness, is that you create it for yourself, right?
Yep.
So a marriage isn't going to make you happy unless you create it for yourself first, right? Mm-hmm. You can't depend on another person or an external circumstance to make you happy.
Exactly.
Same with religion. Like, I personally am not a religious person. I'm spiritual. I'm not religious, but so I can't necessarily speak to people who are religious, but it's you can't seek happiness through something that's external from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to create it for yourself. Or I have to create it for myself.
Yes. And that's And it's the same thing with yoga, right? Some people go to yoga to seek that happiness because they're unhappy about something or life in general, right? And that's not necessarily... And yes, it can be a tool. Yes, religion can be a tool. Yes, being a good person is a tool. Yes, doing yoga, being healthy, doing all these things can...
I think they're tools in order to get to the center and actually, yes, like, be with the every part of the self.
Yeah. You know? I think that they're tools. I think that they're practice.
Well, yeah.
Yes. So in being able to practice...
Because you practice with tools.
Exactly.
If you suck at using a screwdriver, you're just going to make holes in the wall that are terrible.
Yeah. I think they're little external opportunities for you to practice on how to access happiness for yourself or how to access power or strength for yourself or... you know, whatever it is that you're seeking, I think there are little opportunities to practice those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thanks, Maria.
I love that.
Very enlightening.
And what an awesome conversation with your mom.
We did have a great conversation. Yeah. My mom at the end of that was like, okay, so when can I speak on the podcast? Right. And I was like, cool, let's do this.
Yeah, happiness really is like a paradox, too. Mm-hmm. Because... it is. In English, I think English has a weird definition of happiness or a connotation to it that's a bit misleading. Because it's to me, when I heard happiness, like before ever researching it or anything like that, I was just like, smiling and being happy. Mm-hmm. But really, it's the contentedness. And so to be like happy, I must accept how everything is and how everything is not. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that doesn't feel that amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the feelings. Like Maria was saying, it's not about the mood. Cool. Caitlin?
Yes.
Can I ask you some questions?
Of course.
From our listeners?
Yay.
From our patrons and our commenters, our followers. I don't like those names. Let's call them...
Blankets.
Blanket ninjas?
Yes. Blanket ninjas, yes. All right.
Question from our blanket ninjas.
I love it.
That's Jess Zoller's legacy right there.
Yes.
Because she just whispered blanket ninjas.
Like, randomly, not planned.
If you're going to come up with anything awesome, just ask Jess Zoller.
Oh, like, I love her.
Right?
So this first question is from Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel D. And I'm going to read it to you and then just go with it. Are there any specific mindfulness or well-being tools...
Tools
that you routinely use to overcome stress or other objects to your happiness?
Yeah, so I think for me, it is Maria and I are in the 300-hour program together called The Big Upgrade, and we had a master teacher with us this past weekend. Her name's Christina Sell. She lives in Colorado.
So great.
And one of the things that she taught us this past weekend was when you're practicing something or putting your mind on something, that 90% of it is what you love doing, that you like do it for pure joy, that you do it for pure, like, it makes you feel really awesome. And then the other 10% of whatever it is that you're doing is something that will lead you to growth or stepping out of your comfort zone or whatever it might be. And so I thought that that was like a perfect kind of picture of what you can do to mitigate stress or mitigate some of the things that might make you feel not so good, right? Is finding the one thing that 90% of the time, like, brings you, like, you just feel really good after doing it.
What's one of those things for you?
So one of those things for me is breakfast.
You were gonna say that.
So, and I would even now at this stage in my life, I would put that over really everything else, like even working out, like over everything is breakfast.
That's cool.
So breakfast is my thing, and as weird as it might sound, and though I'm very intentional about like creating space for breakfast,
like the ritual of it too?
Oh, it's a ritual of it for sure, and it's the mindfulness of it as well. So I wake up wherever I am in the world, and if it's at home or if I'm traveling for work or if I'm traveling for fun or if I'm doing whatever, I wake up earlier than I need to get ready for whatever it is I'm about to do that day, just so I can sit down and eat breakfast. And part of it, like at home, I get to cook that breakfast. And so it's like being very intentional about being having that time to just like cook a meal for myself. Yep. And a healthy meal, a meal that like makes me feel good mm-hmm. and is filling and will give me energy throughout the day. But then it is also like crazy delicious as mm-hmm. well. And then sitting down and eating that meal. And so when I'm at home, obviously I'm cooking. And then if I'm traveling for work, like I will order room service and I will make it a fancy ass room service. Like I want the eggs Benedict and the bacon nice. And the full pot of coffee on the side.
Actually sounds amazing. Yeah, I've never thought about breakfast. Like, cause I, you know, Marie, I'm more of the morning person of us two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get up usually first and make things and then mm-hmm. serve it to Maria. And I just realized that when the mornings where I'm not able to do that, like oversleep or whatever, day just start off on the wrong breakfast type.
Yeah.
The rush.
Because I know that's something I need to work on. Ugh. It's my morning ritual. And mm-hmm. I know we talked about this, Janan.
Yep.
And we're working on creating something mm-hmm. for both of us.
Real wife talk.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those. And because I usually just wake up. And then I take some time to chill, mm-hmm. you know, and usually pet the cats. Especially if Janan is still asleep, then I'll try to be really quiet because I don't want to wake her up.
Your morning routine is laying in bed for hours.
I do not get up immediately, no. Yeah. I don't like doing that.
I need to shoot up like a lightning bolt.
I don't like doing that because then it makes me feel like I'm starting my day, like, with stress and, like, go, 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 go. And I just want to have that, like, chill, like...
I feel like I'm starting my day like a superhero when I get up really fast. Right? Yeah, so different strokes for different folks.
It is. And I know I should... Because there are times when I do take my time and make mm-hmm. breakfast and make yerba mate and drink tea or make coffee for Janan.
Yerba
mate.
Yerba mate. I thought the accent was throwing you.
No.
Yeah, you've
seen it. It's like a South American tea, but it's not really like a tea because it's not a tea. It's yerba mate. It's like literally just called that. But it is a leaf that you boil in water.
It sounds like yerba latte.
It's not
from Starbucks.
Welcome. Mate. Very much not a latte.
Grande. Remind me one day, I'll have you try it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's delicious. Okay. And I drink that. I prefer that. No, I don't prefer... Well, maybe.
Coffee's better.
I do like coffee. And I stopped drinking coffee because I noticed that it triggered my migraines. So I switched and started getting into the matcha world. And okay. I just... Mm. Yeah.
Well, and I don't think it's... And you know, obviously that ritual or whatever is specific to me, and that's the thing though, like if you're not a morning person, then that's not your time to do those things to help with stress or to help with happiness or whatever it is. It's like you have to find that time for for you and whatever works best for you.
So in the same line of questioning, from another Caitlin
ooh.
With a K, she has the question, do you have any self-care rituals that are an absolute must for your mental/emotional health?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, it's breakfast and movement.
Like yoga and CrossFit and...
Yeah.
Maybe, do you ever go rock climbing?
I've never been rock climbing.
Do you want to go? I want to go.
It's so freaking fun. And you are like basically a straight girl married to Chelsea.
I know. I have so many people in my life that are wanting me to go, and I have not yet.
Okay, let's go.
So, yes. Well, yeah, okay. I need to make it happen.
We'll go out.
So for me, it's movement. Like, I feel good when I have moved at least once in the day. My job has me... at a desk the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not at the desk, then I'm standing in front of the classroom. And though it's still like pretty static movement.
My laziness has me tied to a desk.
a lot of our lives have us tied down to something that's not movement, right? So I just feel my best when I'm moving. And though I'm still figuring out like what that means as far as like what's still healthy for me, right?
Yeah, like too much movement.
Yeah,
like what is it called, exercise addiction? Yeah. I'm sure I've never experienced you like that, but I know of
yeah
people
yes
have it.
Yeah, And I think it's, you know, I still experience the times where if I don't exercise, I definitely have those feelings of like, oh, you didn't work out today. Like, you can't eat as much or you have to work out twice as hard tomorrow.
Or then when you like go work out, you're like run off that donut.
Yeah, exactly. And those are not healthy thoughts or feelings to have at all. And so I'm still figuring out like, okay, movement is what makes me happy. And though it doesn't always have to look a certain way, right? So it doesn't have to be a hardcore powerful flow yoga class, or it doesn't have to be a hardcore CrossFit
taking a walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Or ribbon dancing.
Parkour at Discovery Green, which is apparently an option for people.
And I'm just gonna say it, doing it.
that's good for everyone. Let's just be honest. Denise.
On the same line of questioning, Sarah K wants to know, what does your ideal week look like?
Oh yeah.
Like, what do you do? Where do you go? Who are you with, etc.
So ideal week. Typical week for me, I work a corporate America job, so that takes up the majority of my work week, and I travel at least 1 or 2 days a week as well, so that's always incorporated into my work week. And a typical week for me, though, means setting myself up for success for the week. So I do spend quite a bit of time like meal prepping and all of that, and I feel good when I do that.
So to combine those two questions at once, actually, Anna A. also wants to know, like, because you're talking about now your ideal week, and you said you meal prep, so she wants some tips on how to make meals not so boring. Grilled chicken and veggies gets old, LOL.
Yes.
And it sure the heck does.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, so ideal week and meal prep, interestingly.
Yes, okay. Have I not been interesting?
No, that's just what Anna.
I mean, like, make your meals interesting.
I think you've been entertaining.
You've been fucking interesting.
Okay,
so ideal week meal prepping. So for me, meal prepping honestly does look a lot like roasted vegetables and meat and all of that. And though the way that you can make it interesting is using sauces and spices.
Sprinkling Cheetos on it.
No.
She tried to say yes, and then she really thought about it and was like, God, no.
No. So spices and sauces, which me as a white girl knows nothing about spices and sauces. I'll say that up front. And I did this kind of like sugar detox thing back in January, and one of the key aspects of the detox was adding more flavor to your food using spices and different types of sauces that have whole ingredients in them and spices that don't have like a crap ton of salt either. Mm-hmm. So that's really the way to make it interesting. And so one of my go-to sauces is a kind of peanut butter Thai sauce. And so you can you can eliminate the peanuts if you're not a peanut person. You can do like almond butter or cashew butter or something like that. But it's about 1/3 cup of peanut butter, 1/3 cup of coconut aminos, which is the gluten-free version of soy sauce. And
coconut aminos.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so 1/3 cup of peanut butter, 1/3 cup of coconut aminos, and then like a little less than 1/3 cup of white rice vinegar or any other type of rice vinegar, depending on what your diet is. And then sesame seeds, salt, pepper, red pepper flakes, and then you stir that all together and you pour that over your roasted veggies.
You don't have to cook it?
No. You just like you whisk it together. I honestly just pour all of that into a mason jar, screw the mason jar lid, and like
drink
shake
it.
Well, it's so delicious, and it is and really, really good. There are times where I have.
Is Anna allergic to peanuts? Anna is Maria's sister. So.
Oh,
yeah, she's not allergic to peanuts.
She's not. No.
Great.
Emma's
but your
allergic.
Other sister could not have that.
Yes. And technically, like depending on the different, like I know peanuts aren't technically paleo, so you can do almond butter instead, and you can essentially have like any nut butter. Mm. So the basic ingredients are a nut butter, coconut aminos, a white rice vinegar, or some kind of rice vinegar. Red pepper flakes, sesame seeds, salt, and pepper, and mix it all together and just pour it over your roasted veggies and meat. And that's the basic sauce that I use, but adding sauce and spices and add a crap ton of spices to your stuff, and it will make it interesting and different. And that's what I do. And another way that I make it interesting is that my meal prep meals will only be eaten for two meals a day, and then I'm cooking the third meal for the day, right? So that's like your breakfast. One meal that's different every day. And so that way the other two meals can be basically the same, whether it's roasted veggies and meat. Yeah. So yeah, where I incorporate some variety is my breakfast.
Do you like freeze stuff and like have it for the week, or is it just a day thing?
I usually, so when I meal prep, I cook a shit ton of food in one setting, and then I don't even portion it out, because I'm like, I'll feel like different things on different days.
Oh, so it's in a big pot or something.
Yeah, or like I'll cook like one big whole chicken and eat off that for the whole week, and a ton of roasted veggies. Huh?
Do you kill your own chickens?
I wish I did, to be honest. Not in a very horrific way, but knowing where your food comes from is important, right?
I would not. Don't get me wrong. I eat chicken. I was just asking that to be funny.
I don't.
But, like, I was surprised.
Don't kill my own chickens. I don't know if I ever could, and if I at least knew the person who was killing them, it would probably make me feel better, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's meal prep. And so, yeah, so I add variety one meal a day, and then the other two meals I'm like, lunch will always be the same, right? Or dinner will always be the same, but my breakfast is what I spend the time on. And if you don't have time in the morning, then make your dinner the variety meal of the of the day, or whatever it might be. So ideal week, meal prepping, working, being able to focus on work and getting the stuff done that I need to get done at work, and then also moving at least once a day throughout the week.
Katie O.
Okay.
Wants, Katie she O. says, I like really like what she says. Caitlin has disciplined herself so much to where she is already so successful. I know she owns her own home. And is super dedicated to fitness. What are your budgeting strategies, and how do you stick to them?
Yeah.
!!
Very important.
Yeah. So this is something that actually brings me a lot of stress, to be honest with you. So it's something that I'm constantly thinking about and trying not to think about.
Budgeting.
Yeah, and money in general.
Hold up. Mm-hmm. Just to be in line with what we said before, does it bring you stress, or are you bringing stress to it?
I'm bringing stress to it, for sure. Yeah.
I do the same.
Yeah.
I look at my bank account like once a day, and then write down all the things I know we're going to buy and be like, oh.
She usually does that, and then she'll be like, Maria, how much money do you have in your account? Okay, wait, how much money are you going to make?
Okay,
when are you going to, are you for sure going to get paid that? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Do you need anything else?
I have three gray hairs.
But I think, so for me, like, yes, I did buy my house like 4 years ago. And budgeting in general is, I think, the same as, like, happiness. Like, you put priority on what it is that you want in your life.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So, for me, like, health and travel are my priorities in my life right now. And I know that that's not the case for a lot of people. Like, if you have children or families or other people that you're supporting or other things that you're up to. But my health and travel are really important to me. So it is saying no to certain things so I can do those other things.
Yep.
So, like, shopping, for example, is something that I don't do. I mean,
same. Yeah, we literally went shopping for the first time
in 3 years.
Yeah, literally.
Yesterday. No, sorry, literally. 3 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah, like, we shared clothes, too.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Jealous
of that.
And same shoe size, you know, whatever.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The only thing that's different is if we're wearing pants that don't stretch, she's a size smaller.
I do like wearing my clothes a little bit tighter.
Yeah, that's
than
true.
She does.
I don't complain. Yeah.
But yeah.
So yeah, shopping.
Shopping is literally a thing
like
that
we
don't
do. Budget for having kids because we want to go travel.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, I agree with you. I know I'm very thankful and I'm happy with being with Janon because it brings a lot of balance in that area as well. Janon is like travel all the time, and I'm thinking, okay, we gotta pay the loans, we gotta take care of all these things, we gotta make sure we eat, you know, make sure we do all these things that we have here at home, and it creates this balance of, yes, we're still paying our loans, we're still paying our bills, and taking care of whatever needs to happen here, mm-hmm. and still have the money to go travel.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm really good about spending Maria's money. And she's really good about keeping it.
Yeah. That's good, though. That's good balance.
It is good balance, yeah.
Well, I think it's, like, all about what your priority is. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for, like, health, for example, a lot of people have asked me, like, how do you afford to do all these things? Mm-hmm. And from a health perspective of, like, I just don't have the budget to spend $100 on yoga every month.
Or on groceries.
Mm-hmm. Or groceries that are also
good for you.
Yeah.
Healthy and, yeah.
Yeah, or going to the farmer's market or mm-hmm. whatever it might be. And so I think it's definitely all about priority. And it's not saying that one priority is better than the other. But for me, it's $100 spent going to yoga a month is $100 well spent. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to buy the latest pair of jeans that, you know, like those cutoff jeans with the fringes on the end or whatever that everyone's wearing. I don't know. I don't really care, and I don't have those, and I don't want those. And my $100 are going to go to CrossFit or yoga or the farmer's market. And I'm okay with that, you know? Yeah. So I think it's whatever your priority is. And if it's close, that's awesome. And if it's something else, that's awesome too. So, and when it was my house, like before it was my house, I was saving and spending money with the priority of buying a house in mind.
Yeah.
Right? So I hope that answers her question.
Yeah.
I think it does.
For sure. Okay, so.
We're going to talk about dating now.
Yeah. All right, let's move on into the real meat. So, Caitlin, I know you've been dating for a bit, but you have a boyfriend now.
Yes.
And Maria and I have not been dating.
We've been dating each other.
Yes.
Which is so lovely.
And it's also our anniversary today.
Oh, it is our 4-year of being together anniversary today.
Can we hold hands for a second?
Okay. Happy 14th. 4-year May 14th. Of being together.
Aww. I also proposed to Maria on May 14th.
Yes. May the 14th be with you.
Aww. Oh, that works out too.
I do like it.
So tell me, Caitlin, like in the realm of like, you know, bringing happiness to a thing, mm-hmm. when it comes to like your dating, for example, like how has that been something you've been up to, like bringing like the contentedness?
Yes.
Human thriving. What was it?
Flourishing.
Human flourishing. Into your dating life. What's that look like for you? Tell us all about it.
A work in progress is what it looks like, right? No. I have been, so FYI, I've been single since about 2012. So for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've dated people here and there, like for a couple months here and there. But I think happiness, contentedness, human flourishing, whatever that might be for me in dating has been an exploration of like saying what it is that I want.
Yeah.
Period. Right. So like figuring that out. And, so I think that dating,
like instead of like melding yourself to whoever you meet, is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. And saying what it is that I want out of the relationship or out of the experience of being with that person. So, I've in the past, like, with happiness specifically, like, you know, my definition of it was defined by other people or like what they thought about me or how they felt about me. And I think that that rolled into my dating life as far as like my happiness depended on how my boyfriend felt about me or how my boyfriend treated me or how my boyfriend, whatever, you know?
Yes.
And his happiness was very important to me too.
The first time I met you was at stand-up paddleboard yoga, and that's exactly what you were talking about. Yes. Was like you were just saying like I don't feel good because he's been this way to me and he's been that way to me.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
You weren't there.
But I mean, I don't remember.
It was the day I got sun poisoning.
Yeah, I just don't remember the first time I met you.
We've always known each other.
Yes, in our hearts. But yeah, it was like so dependent on the other person. I think dating now for me has been an experience of like being very vocal about what it is that I want and a lot of different things, right? And that, yes, that has ended some relationships like very abruptly because I voiced what it is that I want and it didn't align with what the other person wanted. And I feel like that's awesome. Like, I'm, like, liberated by that. I'm like, okay, great. Then we're not meant to be together. Yeah. Let's move on.
That's great.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of people, and I've encountered this, you know, I have a few friends our age-y, you know, late 20s, early 30s, that are not married or not dating, and get really discouraged by it, like, oh, I should already be married, or I should already be with the person I'm going to marry, and, you know, dating in my 30s is hard, or dating in my late 20s is hard, or I can't find someone that's as successful as that, you know, all of these stories, all these excuses, and, oh, why would I date? It's going to suck, you know?
And there's the same, like age group of people who are like with people in unhappy relationships unwilling to break it off
because they should get married, they should be thinking about you know, whatever story they're telling themselves. And I think dating is important, you know, and even if it's not for the sake of, oh, I'm gonna marry you, I think dating is important because it really, you really learn, you really figure out what it is that you need. And if you don't figure that out, you at least figure out what you do not want or what you do not need. Like, that will be clear in every relationship. And you might not get the what you need or what you want. You will get what you don't.
Yeah.
So it's important.
Yeah. And one thing, too, about dating, and it's funny because I've gotten so much advice about doing this one thing that I've been doing recently, is, okay, so I said happiness is something that I create for myself, right? And so I think that alludes to, like, your word creates your world.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I haven't been doing over the past 5 or 6 years is not being like very precise about what it is that I want when it comes to dating or relationships. So all of the dating that I have been doing and all the relationships that I have been in never had like this end goal that I wanted, like, because I wasn't clear about it and I didn't vocalize it and I didn't think it, I didn't say it out loud. And I had this like moment back in December where I was like, no, I want to be in a relationship. I want a boyfriend and I want to spend my time with someone and I want to share my life with someone because I have a badass life and I want to share that with someone. And so back in December, I made this like declaration to myself of like, I want to be in a relationship and I'm only going to date to be in a relationship.
Hold up. Was that when you were at Machu Picchu?
It was when I was in Machu Picchu.
Yes, that's
right. Yeah. And I've had a couple of trials and tribulations after making that declaration. And so since then, I've been dating like very precisely and like being very vocal about what it is that I want. And so I would go on dates with men and say, hey, just FYI, like, I'm going on dates to get a boyfriend. That's my ultimate goal.
Good.
And yeah, good, some of the advice that I was getting from other people when I was telling them what I was saying, they're like, oh, don't say that. You need to play coy. Like, that will scare people off.
No.
And I was like, okay, no, if that's going to scare someone off, then I don't want to be dating them.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
I only want to date people that want the
that
same
know
thing
what
that
they
I do.
Want. Yeah. They need to know what they want. I'd just be like, God, hey, girl,
so much
up?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
So much yes.
And I'm not saying it's been perfect since then, but at the same time, like, I think it's made my dating life actually like much easier because it's like ruled people out that weren't a fit for me. And it's also like started conversations with these guys that I've been on dates with that I probably would have never had if I never said that out loud. And so with the guy that I'm dating now, I mean, we talked about it on date one and date two of like, look, I'm going on dates to get a boyfriend. Like, I don't want to be doing anything else. And he's like, okay, got it. And he's not my boyfriend.
Awesome.
Done.
Cool.
Done and done.
You know, and the same thing really applies to marriage, too. Because Maria and I got to be aligned on what we both want in order for us to have a happy marriage. Because we're bringing that, like, contentedness and that agreement and that happiness to the marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been living together since pretty much the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much the first week that we dated, we moved in with each other.
We moved in on the fourth date.
Yeah, which was the first, it was the first week.
The first week.
And this conversation is about marriage
and
life.
We got engaged 1 year later.
Yes, it's
May 14th.
May 14th.
May 14th.
May 14th was our move-in date.
3 years ago.
4 years. And then we got engaged 3 years ago.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And I, when she first proposed, when we first got married, I thought, okay, how is this going to change the relationship? Or is it going to change the relationship? And I don't really feel like it did.
It hasn't even changed, except there's, like, I can get super mad at Maria, and I just know that we're not going to break up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's fine.
And so it's kind of like in a yoga pose. Like, if you guys out there do yoga, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say, like, when you're holding an uncomfortable pose, everything in you is like, escape! But you gain a lot of work by stepping out of the comfort zone and staying with what's uncomfortable, because then you learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, and it's like alchemy. It transmutes into something completely different. Then it began. Yeah. That's like interesting in and of in whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. Stupid wine. Yeah, and so that's the transmutation of being able to stay, right? To be able to stay, and that's really what marriage is bringing me. That's different than dating. Was there's not an, like, yeah, I guess we could get divorced, but that's just so intense.
Yeah,
to me, that's like losing one of my fucking limbs.
Yeah,
like, it's an option, and I really don't want that option.
Yeah,
like, it's got to be like 128 days, that movie where you like chopped off. It's got to be a situation like that where, like, something's got to give,
like a life threatening like,
yeah,
really,
that's nothing that, that's nothing that we can ever plan for. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not like, well, you know, when we fight this much, we'll get divorced. Like, it's just a ridiculous thought. So marriage is, like, interesting in that way, but it still has the, it's just dating the same person over and over again. And we both change.
We
really are dating, like, different, quote-unquote, people over
a long
period
of time. And, you know, we had, someone said this in our 300 hours, like, date the post. Yeah,
date,
be
like the pose.
Yes,
date,
like, be
pose
in a relationship with a pose and
like
discover
date, tree some, pose.
Yeah, and discover something new in tree pose. So,
Vikasana.
Balasana.
It's easy for people who practice yoga to say, "God, this is so boring," especially with Baptiste yoga, which is the same sequence pretty much all the time, right? It can get boring. It's like, okay, yeah, I know what's next. And if you start dating the pose, as they said, you discover something new. You find it that, yes, you're maybe in the same shape. It's still new. It's still something different. You get access to something different every time.
Well, it's like dating is hunting for treasure. You're digging through your yard, like, making different holes, being like, where it is? Where is it? And then marriage is where, like, oh, I'm onto something here. It's under there. And you just dig that same hole, until you have a grave. And then you fucking die in it.
Oh, I don't know if that's awful or awesome.
I love it.
I'm not offended by it.
We are digging our graves together.
Yeah,
but
we
in
are.
A very positive so connotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, so I'll say, so what I love about what you're saying is, like, you figure out, you know, if you're having, like, a disagreement, like, you're with each other, right? Like, you figure it out together, whether it's an argument or even something that you disagree about or whatever else it might be. So what I've noticed for myself in dating is that the second something goes wrong, I say, okay, bye. Nice knowing you. So my work is in staying through those things.
Yeah.
Because I mean, no regrets. And I think that I've probably let go of some relationships because of something, like, very minimal.
Yeah.
That we could have easily worked through if I had had a conversation and stepped up and, like, talked about it.
Yeah.
Right. So going back to happiness is, like, you create it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
So I've gotten out of relationships or ended relationships because I wasn't willing to have a conversation or being willing to, like, create the relationship for what I wanted it to be. Instead, I just, like, took the easy way out and said bye. Right?
Yeah. And on the other side of that, it's like discernment. It's like knowing when the goodbye is a good thing to say and when it's in your better interest to, you know, stay through it, as you're saying.
For sure.
Yeah, that discernment is a huge practice. Yeah, and I believe that the discernment is, like, a major part of the whole happiness search. Mm-hmm. Because without discernment, I mean, I'm just flitting one way or the other, constantly, quote-unquote, pursuing happiness, yeah, instead of listening to the inner me, mm-hmm, that knows best, yeah, without it, me having to analyze.
Yeah.
Right?
I love intuition.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, so to wrap up, guys, we are going to play y'all some interviews of Cubans talking about their version of happiness, what happiness means to them. What I think is so interesting about the subject, and like we said at the very beginning, is this really is something that all humans are concerned with. Because, yes, while we're creatures that survive, we also need this, like, driving force, this, like, sense of happiness or contentedness to thrive, really. Mm-hmm. It's similar to purpose and a little different than purpose. Mm-hmm. And what I'm interested in hearing is what a completely different culture has to say about this, because, you know, our view of Cuba is they're not as financially strong as the United States, that there's more poverty there than there is here.
But they've been stuck in the 50s for...
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that may or may not be completely true,
according
to them, right? Because I went a few months ago, and it was more modern than I thought, and still not, like, incredibly modern.
Yeah.
I didn't see a ton of poverty, and I also was not in, I didn't see all of Cuba. So let's listen to these few interviews that we gathered and see what we can be enlightened with right now.
The interviews that we conducted in Spanish, I will translate right after we played them. Our first interview is with Ramiro. He lives in Havana and manages a great bed and breakfast in Old Havana. This is what he had to say about happiness.
Bueno, para mí la felicidad es sencillo. Es solamente sentirse bien con las personas que te rodean y que ellas se sientan bien y que no carezcan o no presenten ninguna enfermedad y que así todos podamos disfrutar juntos. Ya, es sencillo. No es necesario a veces económicamente estar bien para ser feliz. Hay muchas personas que no tienen una economía suficiente para sustentarse, pero son felices.
For me, happiness is simple. It's feeling good with the people who surround you and that they feel okay and not lack anything or get any illnesses so that we can enjoy our time together. Simple. It's not necessary to be economically stable to feel great. There's plenty of people that are not economically well, but are happy. Next up is Miguel. He's a young tobacco farmer from the Piñata del Río region in Cuba.
So happiness is like having a nice living. Now, nice living, what does it mean to me? My girlfriend, well, first, my family. My girlfriend, friends around me. I think friends before girlfriend. So family, friends, girlfriend, also, like, wealthy, not to be rich, but to have money to spend with them, to have good nights. Now, because I'm 23 years old, maybe when I'm 40 years old, we ask for another kind of happiness, like a calm place at home where no one bothers me, something like this, you know. It depends on in your age. If I were like 10 years old, happiness to me would be to play with my friends around the area. So I think it's not well defined. It depends on the time you are right now and also the country you live in. Mm-hmm. So in Cuba, happiness for me right now is to drink with my friends.
Now let's hear from Rogelio, an aspiring filmmaker and student of information technology at the University of Havana.
Happiness is hard to get. Like, it is like something like far, far away, like in my position right now. far away, and you really want to get it, but you're not, like, sometimes you're not able to, or there's some stuff that you don't control in your way, and you have to, like, work for that, fight for that. It's like the horizon. You keep walking and you never reach it, but it helps you, it, like, keeps you walking though. So I'm not currently happy right now, but I want to be. I'm struggling with that. I, like, really want to be happy, so I'm fighting for that.
Antonio was our guide through the Viñales countryside. He's a true cowboy, owns 5 horses, and is passionate about taking care of his family and horses. This is his take on happiness.
La felicidad es algo abarcadora. Pero bueno, ya cuando uno tiene hijos como los que tengo yo, mis padres vivos todavía, todo es muy... Ya eso reúne muchas cualidades como para sentirse uno feliz. Ya cuando uno tiene... Ya los hijos no tiene hijos, no tiene hijos, no tiene ya los padres, pues ya una persona se siente infeliz. Pienso que la felicidad sea algo abarcadora. Pero bueno, hasta ahora me catalogo feliz. Tengo mis hijos, tengo mis padres vivos. Y aquí en el Parque Nacional de Viñales, que es algo bien bonito, bien sanativo.
Happiness is holistic. When someone has kids like I do, and a father is still alive like mine, that all qualifies me to feel happiness. When someone doesn't have kids or parents alive, one could feel sadness. I think happiness is something that's very comprehensive. For now, I consider myself happy. I have my kids, my parents alive, and I'm here in Viñales National Park. That's something so beautiful, and it's very healing. Last, we have Liz, a yoga instructor and entrepreneur. This is what happiness means to her.
Bueno, realmente en estos tiempos medito sobre eso y creo que siempre buscamos la felicidad fuera. Y estoy como, nada, hacia adentro donde debo buscarla. No dependo de nada fuera para ser feliz. Y creo que si el ser humano se proyecta hacia adentro y no hacia afuera, puede encontrarla.
Really, nowadays, I've been meditating on this subject, and I think we always seek happiness outside. And now I'm here inside, where I need to find it. I don't depend on anything on the outside to make me happy. I feel that if humans focus on the inside instead of the outside world, they could find it.
So, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You were invited on this podcast very purposefully because we very much value what you have to say. I know that you have really important things to give back to the community as far as your insight. Like, we, from the outside, look at Caitlin Weekly like, damn, that girl is successful.
She's got it
She's
all.
She's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
She's happy in the sense of like a whole well-rounded happy, like in tune with like all like in all of her feelings and accepting them all, and she's funny and cool.
Yeah,
so thank you for your time tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys, it means the world.
Thanks for
really does.
Thanks for boiling in this little
I know I'm like sweating.
I have sweat marks on my t-shirt right
I know.
Now
I'm, yeah FYI. We do need a...
Or to just realize not to dress so warmly, because I'm actually fine. I'm in shorts.
Well, I'm
so
underneath
I'm
the lights.
And
yeah,
I sweat like
just...
a man, so it's okay.
Yeah. We're all young teachers. We're used to it.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you. It does mean a lot, and I appreciate you giving me this platform and just talking about my life and talking about your life and learning more about you guys as well. That's why I loved the first episode so much, because I feel like I learned a lot about y'all.
Thanks.
So yeah. I'm excited for future episodes.
And of course, like, we do this for everyone listening. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, it is really fun for us. Don't get us wrong. And this is to elevate our community, mm-hmm. whether that's people in Houston or people who listen who are not in Houston. All we want is for people to be entertained, to potentially learn something they didn't know before. Mm-hmm. That's cool knowledge, and to feel uplifted or encouraged or inspired in some way, and to also be able to participate.
Have conversations that need to happen.
So you guys out there, like, ask yourself, like, what does happiness mean to me? Like, what could be missing, mm-hmm. right, that I haven't put in yet? Like, what work could I do? Or, like, what am I doing too much of?
I think along those lines is, what can I do that's easy to incorporate into my life?
Yeah, what's that 90%?
What's that 90% thing?
That gives that has a 10% challenge, but 90%, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone out there, if you're not already doing this, please, please go follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook. we will have a Twitter. We had a conversation with someone who was like, you have to get on Twitter.
No,
even the last episode we said no Twitter. So we're getting on Twitter.
They got mad at us for not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And please go to patreon.com/BYOblanket. Browse through our different sponsorship levels or whatever they're called.
Tiers.
And see which one that you would like to participate in. I think that we've got some...
They have some pretty creative names.
Yeah, so the Casually Cozy, it's only $1 a month. You get no reward other than knowing that you've helped us out $1 a month.
And we appreciate you.
Yes, very much so. We've got Bring on the Blanket, $5 a month. You will get a personalized e-card every month. So, cute little thing to have. And we'll be surprised about what it's about. There's the Lucky Number 7s. That's where you're at $7 a month. And you would get the e-card, and you get bloopers sent to you via email, because we're not going to do those publicly anymore.
Oh, yay.
Fun.
At $10 a month, we have the Blanky Bros.
Broskies.
And so you actually get a real snail mail card mailed to you once a month, and all of the other stuff, the bloopers and the e-card.
Handwritten,
yeah. Yes. $15 a month or more is straight blanking. You will get all of the above and some BYO blanket stickers every month to put on wherever you want.
What?
Yeah.
Water bottles.
$20 yes. more a month. This is getting up into the people that got a little change to drop, or they simply really want to support us, and that's like all the money they have. We appreciate you so much. That's the Undercover Cops.
Undercover.
And you are so hooked in that there's no way out anymore. You get all of the above and tea. I'm literally going to mail people tea.
Yes, tea.
Like tea of the month.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that cool? So you have tea in your blanket.
Yes, a yerba mate will definitely be in one of those.
Last but not least is the Blanky Boss. At $40 a month or more, you will get a personalized, customized BYOB blanket.
What?
BYO blanket blanket.
Yes.
Upon signing up for this tier, and then you'll get a new one every 6 months, and each month you'll get some different swag with BYOB branding on it.
Oh, everyone should totally sign up for that
one. I mean, just $40 a month. For the cost of, like, 3 things at Whole Foods.
That's actually very true.
Yeah, it is.
Like, 4 lattes at Starbucks.
Dang. $10 lattes?
Well, okay.
I haven't been there in a while.
Maybe 10 lattes. Okay. But still.
I haven't really.
So, yeah. Those are all the what are they called? The tiers of Patreon.com. So check that out. If you prefer not to mess with it, you can just Venmo me. That would be fine, too. We want to buy better equipment. And we want to start videoing these and doing these on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So we need some video equipment. And we also want to have more time in our day, like less working on other things and more doing this to give you guys better content and do more fun things like user-suggested
especially things. Especially if it's something where we start doing it once a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it starts taking a lot more time with editing and et cetera.
I love it.
One more thing. Give us feedback. Actually, 2 more things.
Please,
they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Please give us feedback via comments or sending us private messages if you'd like. And then please review us on iTunes. It helps us, you know, get more noticed on iTunes. So the more you review us on iTunes, the better that would be for us. Thank you so much for doing that if you already have. We appreciate y'all. We have one review already from Darth Damien 1. He says, I love this above the Joe Rogan Experience.
What? That's one of my favorite podcasts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Darth Damien. He says, this is amazing. I can't wait till the next one. This really made me think about my purpose in life in a whole new way.
Aww, thank you. I'm assuming Damien, yes.
Yeah, we know Damien. Thank you so much, Damien.
Well, okay, anyway. Are we done?
We are signing off now, so from me to we go in the blanket fort.
In the blanket fort.
The blanket fort.
And change the world.
Change the world.
Wine glass clank.
We're putting our PJs on, building a blanket fort. Let's go inside, cozy, get comfortable, and maybe a little bit hot.
Yes.